Okay. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we have made it to verse 7. Verse 7. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. All right, the Bible records for us, ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are again very thankful for your love and mercy and grace towards us. We're thankful for this night and the opportunity to be back in your house and looking at your word. And Father, here to hear from you tonight. And so we thank you for who you are and what you're going to accomplish in each of our lives. We thank you for visitors this morning. We thank you for what you're doing in behalf of each of our lives and the blessings that we heard tonight. And Father, just pray that you continue to just do a work in our lives and draw us closer to you. Our faith would be increased and that our focus and attention would be on you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you trust in works, you have lost your way in the Christian race. If we're trusting in works, we've lost our way in the Christian race. Galatians 5:7a said, ye did run well. If you trust in works, you disobey God's truth. In Galatians 5:7b, it says, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? I'll tell you, when we get messed up in this Christian walk of ours, it's usually because we have allowed Satan to get a foothold in our life and steer us in the wrong direction. If you trust in works, you cease to follow God. This teaching does not come from God, so it must come from Satan. So we trust in works, we cease to follow God, because trusting in works is not something that God has taught us. It's something that Satan is trying to get us to do. Because if he can get us to trust in works instead of in Christ, then he's torpedoed this whole thing, right? So that's Satan's idea. Galatians 5:8 says, this persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. It's definitely not from God. If you trust in works, if you noticed I titled this tonight, if you trust in works, and so over and over and over, if you trust in works, all you are will be corrupted. Even your good works will be corrupted by pride and selfishness, and all you believe will become thoroughly corrupt. If we trust in works, obviously selfishness and pride comes into it, right? Because look at all I've done for my salvation, right? And that's not what it's about. In fact, God even says in his word that he knows that that's how we would boast, right? Ephesians 2:8-9. We would boast if it was anything we did. So he's done it the way he did so that we have nothing that we can boast about. And so we need to understand that. Galatians 5:9 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Any mixture of works, even 99.9% faith and 0.1% works, spoils all of grace. Anything we do at all that incorporates any works whatsoever, it automatically spoils all of grace. It's all about grace. It's all about his grace. The same is true of all error too, by the way. If you trust in works, you will face God's judgment, as do the false teachers who trouble believers with this teaching. And there's a lot of false teachers out there. It's easy to get tripped up. In fact, over and over and over I've heard people mention, and I'm not going to go through all the names, but mention different names of people who are on television, and they say, oh man, I just love that guy's preaching and all, and I'm like, and he's a heretic. He's a false teacher. And why do you like what he's telling you? Is it because it tickles your ears? Is it because it's what you want to hear? It's amazing to me how many times people will just rave about somebody that I know is a false teacher. They're not teaching the truth of the Word of God. And then Galatians 5:10 goes on to say, I have confidence in you, though, through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. You have to understand that whoever it is, whatever they're doing to trouble us, to get us off track, they will answer to God. We're all going to stand before him one day. I know, talking about all this stuff that's going on in our world right now, I said, these people who have falsely claimed things and got people all panicked and upset and everything, they will one day stand before Almighty God and give an account for what they're done. It's the bottom line. They're not getting away with what they're doing. They think they are. And it looks like they're accomplishing what they set out to do, but one day God's going to settle that score. And it doesn't matter if it's spiritual matters or non-spiritual matters, they're going to stand before God one day and give an account. And we need to just trust in that God's got it under control. If you trust in works, you abandon the cross and Christianity. I've said over and over and over, if you're trusting in works, somebody needs to explain the cross to me. You have to abandon the cross to trust in works. Because when Jesus was there on the cross, he said, it is finished, it's done. What do you need to add to it? Something that's finished doesn't need to be finished, right? It's already done. So he's already done the work. Galatians 5:11 says, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? The distinctive offense of the cross would never have existed, and Paul and Christians would never have been persecuted had Christianity been merely been another system of salvation by good works. The message of grace, not works, is the offense of the cross. It wouldn't have been offensive if it was just another religious group teaching the same stuff, right? It wouldn't have been offensive at all. But the fact that Christianity says it's not about our works, it rubs them the wrong way, right? Because they want to trust in their works. And they want everybody else to believe that they need to trust in their works. That's straight from Satan. Satan himself. I've said over and over, why do we have so many religious groups out there? Because man wants to be in control. Man doesn't want to play second fiddle to God. Man wants God's position, and that's exactly what Satan's problem was. He wanted to be the Most High God. Not going to work out for him. And when man thinks that they're going to be God, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. We're going to have to answer to God one day for everything we trust in. When Christianity said Christ alone, it was an attack on all other religions. It's Christ alone. That's all we need. When Christ is all you have, you'll find that Christ is all you need, right? You know, we get to the end of our rope and we think, what else? Where else can I go? I've tried everything, right? Well, that's when you find out that Christ is all you need, because you've already exhausted all the other avenues, and it wasn't the answer. But Christ is the answer. And when Christianity said faith alone, it was an attack on man's pride. Yeah, definitely an attack on man's pride. If you trust in works, you will be cut off from Christ. It's going against what he's teaching. Galatians 5:12 said, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. The lost who trust works are cut off from salvation, and the saved who trust works are cut off from all of the current blessings of Christ in them. All the blessings that we love, right? We love the blessings. The blessings are the great part, right? All the time God blesses over and over and over, and we just love that stuff. But we'll be cut off from that when we expect that good works are going to keep us saved or get us saved, whatever the case may be. the liberty of grace versus the bondage of libertarianism. We must never abuse our freedom in Christ or the eternal security of the believer. We should never abuse that at all. We have a freedom in Christ, but it's not a freedom to sin, right? We have freedom from sin, not to sin. Too many of them out there, and a lot of false teachers are teaching, you're saved. You now have a license to sin all you want. But the Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, Paul said, God forbid. You know, shall we sin all the more? God forbid. God forbid that we should even want to. We must never abuse that freedom. And then Galatians 5:13a, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Our liberty in Christ must always be tempered by our love for one another. We have this love, and I've mentioned it so many times, we have a love one for another. Why? Because we have a common bond, a bond there. The common bond is Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It's amazing how you can have that love for people when you've never even met them before, and all of a sudden you meet them, you talk to them for a few minutes, and there's a bond there because we both are in Christ Jesus. And when you have that, it's amazing how you can have that. We must consider the spiritual good of others before our own freedom. Considering that. Unlimited freedom with no concern for others results in destruction for all. What did Jesus say? We're supposed to esteem others better than ourselves. We should have a concern for others, right? It's amazing how that's not what the world teaches, though, is it? The world teaches, don't worry about them, you need to worry about you. Don't think about others, you need to think about you. It's all about you, it's all about you, it's all about you. And that's not true. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And if he says we're supposed to esteem others better than ourselves, then that's what we need to do. And that's not easy, is it? That goes against our human nature. Because our human nature is, if I don't look out for me, who's going to, right? Well, if you're saved, you got the Savior watching out for you, right? So we don't need to be worried about what's going on with us, but too many people are wrapped up in that stuff. Galatians 5:13b through 15 says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You know, what happens when you go to war one with another? Pretty soon you're both battered, right? I don't know if I'm not a big fights person, but, you know, boxing and martial arts and all that stuff, some people are. But have you ever noticed how they usually both end up out of the ring bloodied? It's like, we all know how I feel about blood, so I'm not interested in watching that. But you know, there's a lot of people that are into that stuff. But they're fighting one another. The idea is somebody's going to get hurt, right? Somebody's going down. That's the bottom line. And we end up doing that to one another when we start attacking one another instead of loving one another like the Word of God says. The liberty of grace versus the bondage of the flesh. The flesh versus the spirit. We are commanded to walk in the spirit. This is the secret to victory over the flesh. Need to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 through 18 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We need to be spilt. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're walking with the Lord and all, you're not going to have these things where you want to fulfill the desires of the flesh, right? Because those things are contrary. Contrary one to another. And we are commanded to avoid the works of the flesh. Impure sexual practices in Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Impure sexual acts are adultery and fornication. Impurity of any kind is uncleanness. Impure sexual thoughts, focus, or mindset and desires is lasciviousness. Impure spiritual practices, idolatry, witchcraft. Galatians 5:28 says, idolatry, witchcraft, idolatry, which not only overt idol worship, but anything we put before God, as well as covetousness. We have a problem in our world where everybody's coveting after what everybody else has, right? You got to have what the Joneses have. Why do we have to have what the Joneses have? Do we know what the Joneses are going through to have what they have? I mean, we just see somebody has something, they have a shinier car, they have a nicer house, they have this, they have that, whatever it is. For those who are into fishing, boats, right? Guns. I know guns are a big popular thing. Somebody's got a nicer gun than I've got. I got to go get another one, right? And we're just never content with what we have. We want more and more and more. And don't get me wrong again. Things are not wrong to have. It's our love for the things over our love for God that becomes the problem. We need to keep things in the right perspective. I liked it when Brother Anker said, possess your possessions. Right? If you have them, use them. There's so many people that have stuff they've never seen. And they're building another storage facility. Every time I turn around, there's another storage facility. And every time I see one of those go up, the first thing that goes through my mind is somebody's going to store stuff that they have to have that they'll never see again. Because it's going to go into the storage unit and it's going to stay there forever, right? And that stuff happens. People store stuff for years on end, never look at it. And if you're like some people I know, they go and they finally clean out the storage unit and they keep one or two items out of the whole storage unit, and the rest of it they either give away or sell off or whatever. So why did you spend all that money storing it if you were never going to use it? And what good is it if it's in a storage unit anyway? You can't possess it if it's in a storage unit, so you might as well use it. And if you can't use it, then get rid of it, right? Colossians 3:5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And witchcraft refers to any form of occult involvement as well as to rebellion and drugs. It's amazing. I find it totally amazing how many people who profess Christianity that don't think drugs are a problem. Well, they legalized it, right? They legalized marijuana. Well, and if you're in California, or not California, but Oregon, they've legalized several other things that are even worse, supposedly on the scale of the drug scene. But aren't they all bad? Anything that alters your thinking, alters your mind, allows Satan in, aren't they all bad? In my opinion, they're all bad because they alter your mind, they get you thinking differently than you should be, and you allow Satan a foothold. And Satan's never happy with an inch, right? He wants more and more and more. And so we have to understand that. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So we have to remember, all those things, God warns us about these things because we shouldn't get involved in them. And it doesn't matter what it is. And I noticed there was during the big COVID-19 thing, and they couldn't get anything passed to help people out, but they could pass a bill to legalize marijuana nationwide. It didn't go anywhere, but they spent time on garbage when they should have been spending time on stuff that was important. And it didn't matter to them because all they cared about was their little pet project stuff. And then we have impure social practices, Galatians 5:20b through 21a, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Hatred includes hatred of all men, but speaks specifically of hatred, enmity, or prejudice against certain groups. It also speaks of a defiant attitude. It was interesting to me the other day, I was told, I think it was my daughter sent me a thing, somebody had their Facebook account shut down because they would not say Black Lives Matter on their site. They said All Lives Matter. Facebook shut them down because they, trying to force them to put on their web, on their Facebook page, that Black Lives Matter. Well, I don't know about you, but when I say All Lives Matter, that includes Black Lives, right? And by White Lives, it Asians, Hispanics, whatever you want to call them, it All Lives Matter. The problem is we have those out there that don't want to say All Lives Matter because they're pro-abortion, which I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with that, but we aborted 425,000 plus babies last year during a pandemic. Anything been said about that? No, you got to dig that information out. But that's what they do. So hatred. They hate certain groups, so that's who they're trying to kill off, right? And then variance is discord, strife, divisions, arguments. Emulations is jealous rivalries. Wrath, fits of anger, explosive outbursts of temper. Strife, self-seeking, self-ambitions that lead to divisions. Seditions is divisions and dissensions. Heresies, the cliques, fractions, and errors caused by the seditions. Envyings, grudges caused by desire for what another possesses. Murders, including not only the act, but anger as well. What does the Bible say? If you think hatred toward your brother, you've committed murder. Yeah. Drunkenness, whether by alcohol, drugs, or some other means. People think, well, drunkenness is only by alcohol. Well, you're under the influence of something, right? And some of them have, well, they were prescribed. Just because I've taken four times the prescribed dose doesn't mean that I've, you know. No, if you're abusing even prescription drugs, it's wrong. Need to take them as they're prescribed. Revelings, wild parties accompanied by drunkenness, dancing, and illicit sex. All of those things are bad and wrong, and we shouldn't be involved in it. This is a description of the lifestyle of the lost, the works of the flesh, which the Christian is to avoid. We shouldn't be involved in any of these things. We should be avoiding them. Galatians 5:21b, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is not a list of sins for which someone loses their salvation, because again, as always, once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. But what I would say, if somebody's involved in all these things, they should check to make sure they truly are saved, right? We should make sure, I mean, if we are so hung up on doing these things which are contrary to the Word of God, we need to find out, are we truly saved? Now, can somebody be saved and involved in these things? Well, yeah, because it's not something they did that made them lose their salvation, but it did interfere with their relationship, not their relationship, but their fellowship with God. Their fellowship is now hindered because they're involved in these things that they shouldn't be. But it doesn't mean that they've lost their salvation. We cannot lose our salvation. Unless they walk in the Spirit, believers will fulfill the lust of the flesh. Human nature. It's which one are we feeding? Are we feeding our flesh or are we feeding our spirit? If we're feeding the spirit, it's going to survive. If we're feeding the flesh, it's going to survive. Which one are we feeding? And which one do we want to win? Sometimes that's the thing. They want the flesh to win, right? So they feed it and they ignore the spiritual side of things. Similar lists are found throughout the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And Colossians 3:5 and also 8 and 9 says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Verse 8, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Verse 9, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." All these things. I mean, God's pretty clear here. And you start putting a list together and people say, "Well, I don't do that, and I don't do that, and I don't do that." Well, this list covers a multitude of sins here. 1 John 3:15 says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." Yeah, God looks at this hate for our brother as something very serious. Calls us a murderer if we hate our brother. Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." If all of these items on all of these lists cause us to lose our salvation or prove that we were not really saved, there would not be any Christians left, right? Let's just face it. We have been involved in some of this stuff at some point in time in our life. Liars. Something that just grates on my every nerve when people just bold-faced lie to me drives me nuts. Especially when I know they're lying to me straight up. Not that I had to find it out later, but I know the whole thing they're saying is a lie right while they're doing it. I don't like those things. Why do they think they can get away with that stuff? One lie, one lustful thought, one instance of losing one's temper, or of jealousy, anger, bitterness, hatefulness, doubt, reveling, joking inappropriately, drinking, cheating, dishonesty, coveting, evil desire, stealing, gossip, slander, arguing, division, clannishness, or even fearfulness, or foolish talk would all cause us to lose our salvation if that was the case. Can you imagine going around, "Oops, did I just lose my salvation? I got to get it back again. Oops, did I just lose it? I got to get it back again." How would you know if you got it back in time before you took your last breath? You have to be, okay, where was I at in this whole transaction? Did I lose it or did I have it? Did I lose it or did I have it? Thank God we don't have to play that game. Thank God we can know for sure we have eternal life. These verses do call into doubt the genuineness of the conversion experience of someone whose lifestyle is constantly dominated by these works of the flesh. It does call into question. When people are constantly involved in these things that are the works of the flesh, it makes you wonder, are they truly saved? You have to wonder. Because how could they be so involved in that if they were truly saved and walking with the Lord? Now, they can be saved and backslidden. I had a guy argue with me one time. He says, "You can't be backslidden." I said, "Then why is it mentioned in the Bible?" "It's not in the Bible." I said, "You need to read the book, because this Bible says we can be backslidden." We can be a carnal Christian. We need to be careful of those things. These passages reveal the sins which characterize the lifestyle of the lost and which are therefore not to characterize us as believers. People shouldn't be able to say we are involved in these things. These are not characters of true believers in Jesus Christ. What we call Christians, because Christians are Christ-like. And so we need to understand that. And we're out of time, so we're going to stop there.